Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
But it was fascinating. You asked Mike our big debate from earlier in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And he settled on eventually your guy, Gavin Williams.
Uh-huh.
And the question was, after Tanner Bibee, who's going to start game two for you?
If Alex Cobb is still hurt.
No, you didn't say that. Because you just said who starts game two for you.
That is true.
The first guy he mentioned was Alex Cobb.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I think Alex Cobb would be the guy. And then he said, but, you know, the fingernail things can be a big deal. If he's still hurt. And then he said, Ben Lively. And then he said, Matthew Boyd. And then he said, Gavin Williams. And in other words, Mike hit them all. And all he did was confirm our entire talking point.
Yeah.
Okay, I went with Boyd. You went with Gavin Williams. I'll readily agree with you. Gavin Williams has the biggest upside of the whole bunch. That's the problem. Mike just pinpointed the problem. Pick one. You could make the case for any of those guys to be the game two starter in a playoff series, and you could also make the case why they shouldn't be. And that's the problem here.
And I think exactly what he said. If Alex Cobb is healthy, I think that's your game two starter.
I would tend to agree with that.
I think that pretty much lays it out right there. If he is healthy, he is game two. But then game three, now you're having the same conversation all over again between those three guys of which one do you feel the most confident in? And it almost leads me to wonder, Jeff, if you would then go, all right, Ben Lively, here's the ball. You got the first three innings.
Well,
you know, okay.
I would think, Dan.
Matthew Boyd, here's the ball. You got the next three.
Since you're not going to go five guys in a playoff series, you're not going to go with a five-man rotation in a playoff series, I would assume that at least one of those games will be exactly that. Carlos Carrasco, you're back from the injury list.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos, you're going three.
Yeah, here's the ball. You're going three.
You know,
you're
going
you one
two,
time
one
through.
Time through. Yep,
yep,
exactly.
And maybe you just build it that way. And maybe that becomes the answer. And that might be something because all of those guys. Cobb and Lively, or I shouldn't say Cobb and Lively, I apologize. Lively and Boyd are relatively similar in that their job is to induce soft contact. You know, they're not going to blow you by. They're not going to get a whole bunch of swing and miss. They're not going to get a whole bunch of that stuff. But at least one's coming from the right side and one's coming from the left side. So it's getting done different ways. That you could kind of see that where you could build almost that compound start. And then when you find your way to the seventh, go, all right, let's go to the pen. Let's go get Class A for the back end of it. We can get Barlow. We can get Smith. We could build it all from there.
You might remember, Dano, I don't know, was it 10 years ago, 15 years ago, before this became in vogue, a legendary pitching coach, Tom House, who was a former left-handed pitcher, the guy who caught Hank Aaron's 715th home run when he was with the Braves out in the bullpen. Tom House, and now has become a throwing coach.
Yeah.
And works with a lot of NFL quarterbacks.
I was going to say, a boatload of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Just fascinating.
Lots of quarterbacks. But Tom House said, what do I see happening with the game is pitchers go two innings, they go three innings, maybe go four, and you use four different pitchers throughout the game. And, you know, you've got the first three innings, you've got the next two, and we're well on our way to that, where starting pitchers just don't matter. Tampa Bay is the team that really got it going with the openers and all that stuff. But now you're seeing, you know, if anybody goes more than five, congratulations. You know, if you go more than six, wow, good for you. I mean, you see a lot of quality starts still, which is the six innings and three runs. But, man, you're not seeing a whole lot of seven- and eight-inning starts out of guys anymore. And I think Tom House's theory, I don't know if it's coming to complete fruition, but we certainly see glimpses of it.
It's why that's always fascinating, because I always thought that this is the direction it would go, and that Tom House was onto something when he would say those things. But I always thought you'd get one horse at the top.
Yeah.
You know, I always thought there would be one guy at the top of this whose job it was to go give you seven. And the reason is this gives us at least two guys who have the night off today.
Yeah.
Because we know that this guy's going to go out and give us six or seven, or maybe even sneak into the eighth. Like, I always thought we'd be in a spot where you'd have, like, gosh, 25 guys who would go seven innings. And it might only be those 25 that are doing it, but at least you would have one guy in most rotations. And we're not even there.
No. It goes back to what Mike Exesa said about maybe some ideas where you cut back on the number of pitchers, meaning that you would have to get more guys, more innings out of your starter. Because the one thing to me with Tom House's philosophy would be, okay, if you're going to throw four guys a night, two or three innings each, you're going to need more pitchers. Because if you throw three, you're not going the next day.
No way.
You go two, chances are you're not going the next day.
No
For instance,
way.
I'd be surprised to see Emmanuel Clase tonight.
Right.
After throwing two innings last night. And so if you burn through four pitchers in a game and you can't use those same four pitchers the next game, all right, that means you got, you know, four more, unless you just keep churning. You know, we use four or five tonight. Those guys are out. These four or five are pitching tonight. And then, you know, we mix in one or two other guys. I mean, maybe you could do it, Dan, if you had a 13-man staff and nobody started and went any more than three or four. But even if you went four innings in a major league game, you're not coming back on 2 days' rest.
No. It's the old Buster only had a piece that came out. Oh, gosh, it has to be a month ago now. He did a couple podcasts with it as well, if you prefer that over reading. And it was called the Josh Hader Rules. And Josh Hader was one of these guys who, when he was initially a starter, they turned him into a reliever. And he became, you know, and still is a very dominant closer and does a great job just completely locking down the ninth inning. Now for the Astros, used to be for the Brewers. But back then, he wasn't the closer. They had him work the seventh and the eighth inning. They had him throw two innings the way that you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And he found his way into arbitration, and he went, all right, pay me. I've been doing this. And then I left out this part. He then became the closer where he was racking up saves, but he was also pitching the eighth. And it was exactly what you're saying. He went into arbitration. He goes, hey, pay me. I need to be compensated for this. I want to be the highest paid reliever because of the amount of work. And the arbitration came down and said, You're a reliever. You have this amount of saves. We base it off of this amount of saves. We're not basing it off of innings pitched. And so when that happened, Hader went to the Brewers and said, I'm done doing this, because if I'm not going to be compensated, then why in the world am I
nerds?
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Doing it.
Right.
And that's the other side of this.
In his defense, though they love playing baseball, they're doing it for money.
Yeah.
I mean, this is their job. They get paid for this, and you got to maximize your dollars.
Absolutely. And, like, nobody held it against Josh Hader. Like, would it have been really nice to have him throw two innings in playoff games? Heck
sure.
Yeah. You'd love to have that. The guy was blowing people away. But to your point, if he's not being compensated for it, I get it. And if we're going to live in this world where we're going to blow through all these bullpen arms, if these guys aren't going to be compensated for it, then I could easily see exactly what you're talking about, which is you're going to have to figure out how to limit these pens.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to have to start ponying up.
Curtis is in Cleveland. Hey, Curtis.
All right, Curtis.
Hey, Joe. I got one question. So I look at the Guardians. They got seven All-Stars on their team, the only team in baseball to do it. And everyone keeps saying, well, I don't understand why they're the best team in baseball. I don't get it. And you got Jimenez, you got Ramirez, you got Naylor, you got Kwan, you got Cobb, you got all these All-Stars. Crossing, you got like seven All-Stars in this team, the only team with that. And everybody keeps saying, well, I don't understand why they're the best team in baseball. This isn't fluky. This is a team full of All-Stars.
Well, they had five players on the All-Star team this year.
And but they had seven altogether. Cobb was on there last year, and so was Jimenez. They had seven All-Stars on the team. They should be the best team in baseball. They're the only one with seven All-Stars.
Ken Strom was on an All-Star team years ago. I mean, guys make the All-Star game. David Fry made the All-Star team, Curtis, and David at the time deserved to be on the All-Star team.
Don't they have seven All-Stars on the Guardians team?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head how many All-Star appearances.
I'll name them for you. Naylor, Ramirez, Jimenez, Kwan, Clase, Cobb, you know what I'm saying, Fry. They got seven All-Stars on this team.
That's wonderful. I'm guessing if I look at other rosters, I could find a team that has seven guys.
Yeah, I mean, we could pull up the Philly roster right now, and it'd be higher. We could pull up the Dodger roster right now, and it'd be higher.
Probably Yankees.
They don't have more than seven All-Stars.
All right, Curtis, thank you. I don't have that figure off the top of my head. I can't imagine that there's not another team that doesn't have at least that many. The bottom line, Curtis, they're playing great baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how many ceremonial games guys have been picked to play in. This team is playing good baseball. That's the point. But
sorry, that's just such a blunt way to put that. It made me laugh.
If you look at this team, and you looked at this team at the beginning of the season, and you thought this was a first-place team that for a good portion of the season, back and forth at different times, would have the best record in the American League, best record in baseball. If you didn't take that to Vegas and put some money on it, then shame on you. If you saw that coming, you lost an opportunity. I didn't see it coming.
I mean, what, Vegas had him as a 500 ball club? I think that might have been generous. I think they were looked at to be a below 500 ball club by Vegas. I believe that was the case. And we all kind of looked at that number, and we were like, boy, I'd love to make an argument for you of why it's going to be different. I don't have it. Rookie manager, team coming off a down year and an inability to score runs. Shane Bieber coming off an arm injury. Hopefully that stays together. Well, then that, you know, sadly went south for Shane Bieber. If you would have told us back in April that they would be in this position, we would all be over the moon, and a good chunk of us wouldn't have believed you.
It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.